Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo muy especial al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín.
Good afternoon. Warm greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there in Manaus, Brazil, and to everyone who is accompanying him, and also to all the ministers, brothers and sisters from Brazil, who are gathered there, and those from Venezuela as well, who also crossed the border to share with our brother Miguel there in Manaus in these days. And all the Brazilian people whom are present there from different parts of Brazil. May God bless you and bless Brazil greatly at this end time. And may Brazil be a place where sons and daughters of God are being prepared to obtain their transformation soon. May a large group come out of Brazil for the rapture, because we all want our country to be a country that has chosen seed of God to receive that promise. Therefore, as our brother William said, that Latin America and the Caribbean is the seedbed of the chosen ones of God. So I hope that for Brazil, there will be a large group of elect of God whom are being prepared, who are being prepared to obtain that promise. God bless Brazil greatly. A people whom God gave me the privilege to visit them on several occasions, and to get to know its nation, its people, whom are so full of love. And I long to be with you again soon. Now remember, it's been around 14 years. Let us say 14 to 15 years since the Holy Spirit, in the corresponding manifestation, when that powerful archangel was operating that manifestation, bringing the good tidings, then after that last visit, it has been about 14 to 15 years. Maybe that's the country where it has been the longest since the Spirit of God has set foot there, veiled and revealed in a prophet. And soon, the Holy Spirit, in His last manifestation, will be setting foot on Brazilian soil. And it will be of a great blessing for Brazil. And likewise, I hope that in the Latin American countries, that opportunity also comes to them, that God allows His final manifestation to set foot on Latin American and Caribbean countries, as far as God allows it, and those who, and wherever is not possible, some may take a trip to the nearby country so that they may be present in some activities representing their country. Therefore, don't worry if the time does not come when I can visit a certain country. In one way or another, it will be fulfilled. So both Brazil, as every other place, we desire that God allows us to be with you and thus have fellowship around the Word of God and to see the morning star shining in our hearts. The morning star shining in our hearts, bringing us the light of a new dispensational day. The morning star is the subject of introduction, which on that occasion, they had the Bible study on Friday under the same subject that was on Sunday. And this introduction was on Friday, March 11, 2016, in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico, which is Sunday's subject. In other words, for Sunday, March 13, he then expanded or developed that subject, the morning star. And that Friday, March 11, 2016, he gave this introduction. And he read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, of which he tells us in Numbers, in chapter 24, verse 15, and let's read that portion where he tells us. Chapter 24, verse 15 and on says, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, and to the left he wrote, knowledge, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trace, but having his eyes open. And I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. And he writes to the left, star. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And he writes Revelation 2:28. It's the scripture that Brother William spoke in that message. And shall smite the corners of Moab. And he writes, leaders to the right. And destroy all the children of Seth. There under Revelation 2:28, he also wrote Revelation 22:16, where it says, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, it says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The morning star. You may be seated, please. In the message, striving for the blessing of the angel of God, preached on December 6, 2009 in Austin, Texas, United States, our brother William says, in the history of the church, we see the angel of the covenant in all his fullness in Jesus, and then through the apostles and different messengers of the different church ages, in the portion pertaining to each age. In other words, in the portion corresponding, that is, in the revelation corresponding to each age. But at the last day, he will be in all his fullness. Now, there he is also speaking about the manifestation, of which Brother Branham said, what you have seen partially, you will see in the fullness of its power when the squeeze comes. But notice that everything and all things at the end, they are the sum of everything that was being shown and revealed in the ages. And in the end, we will see then everything in its fullness. Notice the fullness of God on one hand, God fully incarnate in a man. But when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding on a snow-white horse. Let's read it on page 295 of the Book of the Seals, in Spanish, 256. But when our Lord appears here on earth, He'll be riding on a snow-white horse, and He'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. Notice, it will be what? Fully, see? The whole, the fullness of God. Fully Emmanuel. That is, the Word incarnate in a man. What was in His first coming. But on the other hand, we also see the Antichrist, the devil, will also come in its fullness. Let us see it also there on page 452. Let us see if that's the page. 405. Just about the time the Holy Ghost is revealing Himself here in the last days, the Antichrist is showing his colors, coming up through his politics and things. And just about the time the Antichrist moved himself fully, see, is all in fullness. The devil on one hand in fullness, and God also coming fully manifested, in other words, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And just about the time the Antichrist moved himself fully on this scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem it all. And there he writes with Moses and Elijah. To redeem us, he also writes to transform us. And to the left, he writes upward, God will come in his fullness in Moses and Elijah to redeem us, to transform us. He wrote that there. Notice, everything comes in fullness, both the devil as well as God. Now, notice he continues to say, but at the last day, he will be in all of its fullness. And in that manifestation is when the church bride of the Lord Jesus Christ will hold on to that angel, the angel of the covenant, in his final manifestation. How will she hold on to the angel? The angel of the Lord? How is she going to hold on? Well, she has to hold on to a veil of flesh. She has to hold on something tangible. Mom, I want a God of flesh. The little boy told her there. I want a God that I can touch, that I can hear, that I can see. That's the God that I want. Now notice that final manifestation. There is when he says, and the Hebrew people will see him and say, well, this is the one that we are waiting for. And they will hold on to him as well. In other words, notice that he, the Hebrew people, will also hold on to that angel, who at that time will be, notice, will be already in a stage where great miracles and wonders will be shown, where the Hebrew people will have their eyes on him, but they will be staring at him like he's the one, because in the meantime they are looking at him and they're having that fellowship, and they know that he has to be grown up, and that the fulfillment of what they are waiting for is a prophet. They're not waiting for anything else than a prophet. Therefore, once they see certain things, there is when they will say, here is what we long for, what we have been waiting for. Of which, in the Book of Quotations, there our Brother Branham tells us, on page 22, paragraph 176. And there is them two witnesses. And when they tormented the church or the world by their preaching and received back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on. When they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, lo, this is our God, who we waited on. That's him. But he's not coming for them, he comes for his bride. And his bride? When Joseph went into Egypt, he did not take his brethren with him, but he got his bride there. Absolutely. But when he made himself known to his brethren, there was nobody present. That's exactly right. And when he make himself known to these Jews, there'll be nobody there but the Jews. There is them who killed Joseph standing there. And he said, well, I'm Joseph. He underlines that, well, I am Joseph. And he circles it. Your brother. And he wept. And they said, now we know we're in for it because we killed him. The same thing. Those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now of the persecution, running them back into the homeland, is showing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride and they'll see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. And in another place, he says, let us see here. That he will baptize. Now, that tells us about that angel sealing that group. Let us see here on page 7, paragraph 54, it says, then 144,000 will stand yonder, and one of these days some divine, holy, anointed prophet of God will go over there with signs and wonders. Those Jews will say, that's what I'm looking for, yes sir. And God will baptize 144,000 Jews, and the rapture will come. Remember that that happens, as Brother Branham says on page 429 of the Book of the Seals, where he says that that's just before the tribulation period. In other words, there has to be a prophet of whom they will hold on to, who they will see and they will hold on to before the divine judgments fall, so that they are sealed in their foreheads with the seal of the living God. And the rapture will come. The Gentile age will cease. The atomic bombs will explode and take the world. And the Gentile church will be raptured up to stand there in the presence of God. And below he writes, the atomic bombs. And above he writes, a prophet. The Gentile age closed. Moses and Elijah and the 144,000, and the rapture will come. Now let us continue here where our brother William continues saying, both, that is both, the church as Israel, will be striving for the blessing of the angel of God, which will be the blessing of God through the angel of the covenant in his final manifestation. Surely the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets, Amos 3:7. I'm saying that. In his final manifestation. Because notice, God can do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. Our brother William goes on to say, he will come as a blessing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to give us the faith to be transformed and raptured. Now there he's telling us that there has to be somebody. There has to be a prophet where that final manifestation, and where God through that final manifestation brings the rapturing faith. He's saying it here, clearly. To give us the faith to be transformed and raptured, and he will come as a blessing to the Hebrew people. That is what is promised for the last day. We can see Jacob holding on to the angel of God thousands of years ago, and he did not let him go until he received the angel's blessing. It was God in the angel speaking that blessing. We have seen that this is a historical event, which in addition is a type and figure of what will be happening in this end time. Therefore, we also have the historical event, and we also want to have what that event typifies for this end time. And we will not let him go until he blesses us. Look, the church bride was waiting for this time. Do you think that she's going to let him go? No way. He may not think that he will leave the midst of the church bride, because each and every person will be holding on so tight to that angel in that manifestation that they will not let go the Holy Spirit, that mighty manifestation of God which is in the midst of the people. They will not let him go because they have met the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire. And until they receive the promise, the fulfillment of that promise of the transformation, they will not let him go. And likewise is with the Hebrew people. To go into the great tribulation, they will not let go that angel in that final manifestation. And they will be holding on so tight to him, where it will be fully fulfilled, the let me go, for I must go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, how beautiful is to find what was lost. If you place yourself in that position, that at some occasion you lost something and you find it and you're filled with joy and happiness, or that's one case, or if someone tells you, someone is coming and they are going to bring you something that will fill you with joy, with happiness, but you have to find out who he is. And you look from among all those who are arriving, who could it be, who could it be, who could it be? But when you find him and discover you're the one, and there you receive what that person was going to bring you. You are filled with joy, with happiness. Samuel was filled with joy, with happiness, when he saw David. For he had found the one that God told him to anoint as king. The church bride at this end time has found the one of whom Brother Branham said that the church bride will crown him. Page 331 of the book of the seals, and also page 154. Glory, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst, now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the church. He's the one who crowns that ministry, the church bride, of which God is showing us how is that that will come to a true fulfillment in this end time. Remember that it is the identification of who the Christ is, who the Messiah is. That is what he asked them over there. And who do you say that I am? They identified the promise in human flesh. They identified what was promised in human flesh. Now he goes on to say, And just as that brought forth a change in Jacob's name, we want also a change, a transformation, and we will not let him go until he produces that change in us. Nor will Israel let him go until they receive a change, and then they will continue with him in the millennial kingdom. So notice, don't think you will leave him, but rather, as the Hebrew people, that is the 144,000 will resurrect after the great tribulation, the Hebrew people will also have him, as well as the church bride, in the millennium and for all eternity. And then they will continue with him in the millennial kingdom. That angel will be there, the angel of the covenant, the Messiah, the anointed angel, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit. Notice on page 2a of the book of quotations, paragraph 14 says, for there is going to be an elect who is going to live through the millennium age and will go in and out with Christ for 1,000 years, and then they shall go up into glory with him and return again. When the resurrection of the wicked is brought forth, then the millennium will set. After the millennium is over, then Christ will go up with the church, and at the end of the 1,000 years, he will return with the church. Christ comes 3 times. The first time he came to redeem his church, is that right? The second time he comes to receive his church. The third time he comes with his church. See, he comes to redeem her, he comes to rapture her, and be caught away in the time of the plagues and so forth, returns back for the millennium, lives through the millennium, and then the great king and queen come down for the judgment. And on that same page, notice the next paragraph, number 15 says, that's the reason I'm praying, that's the reason I'm crying to God, Lord, I want to get to those Jews. Let me start in down there in Africa, work with a few of those Gentiles and Mohammedans, and let me go over here in India and try to produce and show to them the real Lord Jesus Christ with his power, his miracles, his baptism, everything, and the Holy Ghost. Then when they come to Jerusalem, Brother Beeler, this was what you was asking about. When they come to Jerusalem and stand out there and say, there to the left is the Star of David. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God that raised from the dead, he knows the things just like he did back there in the beginning. He can produce the same life that he had back there. And if he does, would you accept him as your personal Savior? And then show that God, by his great power and things of his resurrected power, he is with us. Then when they do that, say, now you that have received him as your personal Savior, 3 dots, I hope there will be thousands of them. Say, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is right here for you. How does the Holy Spirit returns to that vision that he saw in Ezekiel chapter 37? Where that mighty army did not have a spirit in it. But notice, he tells us in a message that it will be through a man that the spirit will return to the Hebrew people. Now, here he is prophesying to us and giving us a great revelation. Because notice, here, when he is saying that will be fulfilled, it is because at that time, that Holy Spirit would be incarnate in that final manifestation. So, what our brother Branham is speaking here, today the church bride is seeing it, because she is the one who receives him first. Then the gospel goes back to the Jews right there at that time. Then there will be a revival amongst those Jews right there. They'll carry thousands and tens of thousands and 144,000 into the kingdom of God will be sealed by the sealing angel. And he writes there, Moses, because he is a dispensational messenger. He is one of the 2 olive trees. Remember, Moses for the Hebrew people and Elijah for the Gentiles. That is why the one of Jesus is also there. Now remember that since the Holy Spirit is incarnate, he is the one who operates the ministry. So, when he wants to operate a ministry that he operated in past times, he does it. He has no problem doing so. And right there, as soon as that sealing angel begins to seal that 144,000, the Gentile church door is closed. Now notice, when that mercy for the world ends for the last time, that is, for the Gentiles, and once they come to knock at the door, by that time, the door, that is Moses and Elijah, that door will be closed. The door is always a man, just like the door in the dispensation of grace was Jesus, and the name is on the door. And the Jews takes the Holy Ghost to the Jews, and they'll have a revival that'll sweep the entire world. Hallelujah! And the power of God will be manifested amongst the Jews. There above he writes, the angel equals Moses and Elijah and the 144,000 Jews. On the side, also writing upwards, he writes, Moses and Elijah and the 144,000. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, have you noticed how simple all this is? That was so mysterious in past times and past ages? Now it has been simplified. The whole mystery has been opened so that we can understand it. Now, it is like saying, today, in the audio that we were speaking about how God has been breaking down everything, that is none other than God giving the church bride the recipe of the content of the hidden manna. The hidden manna was being given. In other words, in prophecy, in revelation. Notice in Brother Branham's time, what he spoke, what he foreran, the good tidings that our brother William Soto Santiago brought, but it wasn't comprehended, it wasn't understood, which was the seasoning. In other words, the condiments that were there. But rather, it was only spoken of hidden manna. But now, we are speaking with full details from the empty casserole and all the processes that we have to put into that casserole to make that food. Each seasoning, every detail, every amount of each thing is being given to the people so that they know the content of that manna, what that manna contains, which is an everlasting manna. And whoever eats of that manna shall never die. In his first coming, the theophanic body was obtained. We then have obtained the first portion, but the second portion comes with all the powers. So much so that whoever eats of that hidden manna in this end time will not die in his physical body. And if he dies, he will resurrect in a glorified body. But the one who remains alive will be transformed. That manna, notice, they gave a little bit there to Elijah and lasted a number of days without eating. What did that cake have? That had multi extra multivitamins. Because we have no human words to describe the amount. That is, we can say the maximum. It was the everything. What was in that little portion? Imagine eating the whole recipe. That is, breaking down the whole content of that title deed and knowing what is in there. Those treasures of the wisdom of God, of the knowledge of God, where sons and daughters of God can create, can move things, can transport themselves, can speak the word and things happen. That is what we're talking about. What you and I are eating at this time is something great. It is the creative power of God in sons and daughters of God. That is what you are eating today. He goes on to say, and such will be the ministry of Elijah for the fifth occasion, and the ministry of Moses for the second occasion or third occasion, and such will be the second coming of Christ. Everything will be simple for Christianity and for the Hebrew people as well. Therefore, let us be attentive to the prophetic word, which, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star arises in your hearts. Peter says that, and the day star is Christ. And he says, I will give to the overcomer. To whom? To the overcomer. He says that he will give him what? The morning star. In other words, he's going to have the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, manifested in him at the last day. And we will hold on to Christ, the angel of the covenant, at the last day in his final manifestation. See how the church bride and the Hebrew people will hold on to that angel that Jacob held on to back then? That which was history that was shown back then, today we have it right in front of us, face to face, veiled and revealed in human flesh, where then the church bride comes and will hold on to the one that God has given, the morning star, has given him his coming. In other words, the one who receives the morning star fulfills his coming. As simple as that. The morning star. Let us stand and thus leave in this subject the morning star, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.